Here's author, blogger, lecturer, and national medical media personality, Dr. Michael Smith, MD, with Healthy Talk.
So let's talk about new diagnostic tests for prostate cancer. I know it can be very confusing out there. Prostate cancer is the most common cancer in men. And because it can be deadly, doctors routinely overtreat it, recommending really what is what we call kind of a blind biopsy. There's some changes going on. They do a blind biopsy, and that's followed by surgery and radiation. And it's a very aggressive approach, really just to be safe. So to talk with me about new tests for prostate cancer is Dr. Jay Cohen, author of Prostate Cancer Breakthroughs. Dr. Cohen, welcome to Healthy Talk.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on. Let me ask you, I just want to start off, are doctors really treating prostate cancer too aggressively? And if they are, why?
Well, they're doing it too aggressively, and even the major medical associations agree. That's why they're telling them to stop doing PSA testing, which is ridiculous. I mean, it's our only early warning method. But yes, the statistics are this. First of all, prostate cancer kills 30,000 men a year in the United States and 280,000 worldwide. It's the equivalent of breast cancer in women in terms of cancer deaths a year in the U.S. Second, of the 200,000 men who are diagnosed a year, 100,000 will be told they need either radical prostatectomy, which is removing the entire prostate, which often gets the nerves and causes huge problems, or have full radiation of the prostate area, which does the same thing. Of those 100,000 men who get that, 85,000 do not need it. In other words, of the 100,000, only 15,000 wow. really need it. So there's massive overtreatment. Now, there are reasons for that, which I'm glad to explain if you'd like.
Yeah, well, let me just ask something, because let's get something clear then. When we talk about new diagnostic tests, we're not saying PSA is obsolete. Should men still be getting this test done?
Absolutely. It's our only reliable, inexpensive, early warning sign, which is the key to curing men. Before we had PSA, it was only done by feeling it on a digital rectal exam, which was way late. After PSA came in, the death rate dropped for prostate cancer from 50,000 to 30,000. If we stop doing PSA across the board, which they are recommending, we will have 20,000, 25,000 more men die a year. So it's been a real problem for doctors, because if they do PSA, there's massive overtreatment, and if they don't do PSA, 20,000 more men will die than the 30,000 who already do.
So is there another tool that we need to be using with the PSA then? Is that where some of these new diagnostic tests, and we'll get into some of those, like MRI, for instance, are you a proponent of maybe doing a combination of those things?
Absolutely. They already do it at the Mayo Clinic and Sloan Kettering in New York and UCLA and MD Anderson and another half dozen places in the U.S. It's the cutting-edge treatment. It's a different MRI than the ones we use just to generally see if there's any sign of spread. That can't see into the prostate. But in the book, Prostate Cancer Breakthroughs, I list these other places and other tests that can be done to make our diagnostic testing much more effective and accurate than we've had over these past decades.
So is there a number, let's say somebody goes in and has the PSA, the routine test, at what point would a doctor say from some of those major centers like you had mentioned, when will they do the prostate MRI? Or are they doing it in conjunction with every PSA? Obviously, that's not going to be cost effective. So is there a number they look at with PSA?
Well, there always has been, and that number is 4. Now, the prostate gland, even the normal cells, secrete a little of this prostate-specific antigen. So a lower amount is within normal range. The problem is that we're told when it gets over 4, it might be cancer, and many times doctors jump the gun. First of all, it should always be repeated, which sometimes doctors don't do, because the lab test can be off, or if you have a large prostate, it can be off, or if you have an infection, or if you've been sitting on an exercise bike or a regular bike for an hour, it can push on the prostate and squeeze more out. So there are other reasons for a high PSA, but doctors, you know, urologists who are the main doctors here, treat a lot of other things. They don't always treat prostate cancer day after day, and a lot of them don't know the specifics. So at that point, when it is high as mine was in December 2011, and you do it again and it's high and you've ruled out all the other possibilities that I've just mentioned, which my doctor never told me about. I got that from a support group. But when it was high a second time, significantly high, it was not 4 anywhere near it, it was 15, which is very significant. Mm-hmm. That's when you start talking biopsy, and that's when in these specific medical centers, they may start talking MRI even before they do the biopsy or another test, which some doctors do, about a couple dozen of them across the country, which I talk about in the book. This is called a color Doppler ultrasound test that can also see into the prostate and see if you really have any areas that might be cancer.
So some of these, so the prostate MRI, for instance, or the color Doppler ultrasound, are they going to help to decide whether you really do need that biopsy? Is that what you see with these tests? I guess decreasing what might be the unnecessary biopsies, et cetera, that you had talked about before?
Yeah, yes and no. Let me just explain. If the tests are normal and the PSA is, you know, not particularly high and you have other possible causes of the elevation, they might wait on the biopsy because as it is today, we do 1.5 million biopsies a year and only about half are really needed, and biopsies have their own, you know, limited risks, but they do have some risks. But biopsy is needed in suspicious cases because it's the only way you can actually see the cancer and grade it according to a degree of aggressiveness. In my case, not knowing any of these things at the time, because I'm not a urologist or an oncologist, you know, I was working with my urologist. We went from the PSAs to the biopsy. He did a good job. He got 14 pieces of the prostate gland, and we found cancer in it. And based on that, and this is where doctors are today, well, if your PSA is high and your biopsy shows cancer, even if it's a low-grade cancer like mine was, we have to do surgery, we have to do radiation. And that was it. I spoke to 4 surgeons, 2 of whom I had personal connections with and who are good doctors, and they all said the same thing. No, you know, if we got pieces of cancer in one area of your prostate, it's probably all over and your PSA is high. There's no doubt we got to do this. And see, the thinking then and now, but not in the future, before and now, is if you have these numbers, even though we really can't see in the prostate, we don't really know what you have, you have to have surgery, radiation. And the only other choice is to do nothing, which is to wait to see if it kills you. Well, now with the new tests, we have entirely new options.
Yeah, so what in the next segment coming up, we'll go into a little bit of the new treatments out there that are available. You have a website, it's called medicationsense.com, and I know that you describe a lot of the book on that website. Can they also purchase the book there, or do you have another site that they can go to get your book called Prostate Cancer Breakthroughs?
They can purchase it there, and they can also go to Amazon, where it's also listed, and you'll see all the great reviews that I've had for the book.
So here we have a PS still is used. It's not obsolete. It can help to drive other additional tests like prostate MRI, color Doppler ultrasound, so we can make the best decisions as a patient and as a doctor. So stick around. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.